Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL team, including the Pacers, right here. I'm Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and I am up late, or shall I say early in the morning, Thursday time, following the Pacers' 131-109 loss to the Portland Trailblazers in their first game of their five-game West Coast roadie that is off to a bumpy start, to say the least. I'm sure a lot of folks were hoping to stay up with me, but were smart enough to retire early, and the Pacers were able to allow that to happen with the way they played. In the first half, and really early in the third quarter, as things got away from the Pacers in a hurry. As for some individual numbers, Jeff Teague finished with 25 points, had 8 assists, kind of got into a duel with Damian Lillard towards the end of the first half, which was entertaining as both were getting chippy and frustrated with fouls called by the refs. But Lillard did his own damage with 28 points and 10 assists. Bit of a stalemate there, but really the Pacers were hurt from behind the line and at the rim as the Blazers scored 94 of their 131 points from behind the arc or in the paint. And they made 8 of 12 three-pointers in the first half, only finished with 12 of 32 for the game, but that first half effort, everything seemed so easy, while the Pacers struggled to keep pace after missing some shots early, and it just seemed like it was never going to be their night. The Pacers always seemed to be in better shape than it looked like, being down 8 at the end of the first quarter and 15 at the half, but the Blazers always seemed in control, and they really took over shooting a high percentage from three-point land and at the rim. It was like if they weren't draining one from behind the arc, Mason Plumlee was getting a dunk or somebody was getting the finish right at the rim. They were real efficient at dissecting the Pacers' meager attempts to slow them down. It was pretty impressive. In fact, you know, the Pacers in the first half, and really the game was decided there, and because the second half, everything just went off the rails for the Pacers, and they couldn't get any stops. They got down big early. In fact, the game from the outset appeared to be a race to 110 points, and the Blazers almost got there by the end of the third quarter, finishing with 109 points at the end of the third quarter. So it was not a good scene, and in the first half at least, you know, after Pacers took a very early lead, they kind of went cold. Jeff Teague missed his first few shots. They were missing a lot of good open looks. Seemed like a lot of nice soft shots were trickling around the rim and falling off. And that kind of dug them that early hole. And the Blazers, meanwhile, were able to get the easy buckets and knockdown threes. As I mentioned in the first half, they were 8 of 12 from the three-point line. But on the other end, the Pacers shot 21 free throws and made 20 in the first half. So they actually had a bigger advantage from the free throw line than the Blazers did from the three-point line in the first half. But the difference was really just making those two-point shots because the Blazers were getting so many easy ones around the rim, getting second-chance shots on offensive rebounds early. And then there was a stretch when Al Jefferson came in for about 7 minutes and just could not contain Mason Plumlee. They just went right at him and over him, actually, not at him, over Al, who was grounded and not able to keep up with the spry and bouncy Plumlee. And that stretch was, you know, a negative eight against the Pacers, but it really put Blazers on the move and completely nullified the ability to use Jefferson that game. It is maybe the first time Pacers really missed Kevin Seraphin as an option out there in the reserve role. So from that point, things were dicey. I mean, the Blazers got a big boost in the first half from Evan Turner and Alan Crabb off the bench. They scored combined for 21 points. And early, you know, Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum really weren't doing a lot. And then towards the end of the half, Lillard and Jeff Teague got into a little duel. They were having some chippy fouls and really going at each other. Kind of woke Lillard up, but it wasn't a good thing for the Pacers. It really ended up not mattering. Teague did enjoy a good night statistically, but, you know, all the Pacers had a bad night defensively, the way things worked out. So it was pretty much garbage time all throughout the fourth quarter, and it was just a night where the effort wasn't good enough for the Pacers. And again, haven't even mentioned this yet, obviously they were shorthanded. Gotta be fair, despite how well they played against Brooklyn and the Clippers without Paul George, C.J. Miles, and I did mention Kevin Seraphin earlier. They really could have used one or all of those guys in the game tonight to bring something, and they were missing in action, and the Pacers definitely were missing them on the floor as they just were running out of the gym. It's a rough way to start this big road trip because, you know, this is kind of the swing game, even though it's the first game, kind of a swing game for a road trip like this when you know you have two tough games coming up at the Clippers and at Golden State. And for some reason, the Pacers have just always flopped in Portland, regardless of who's healthy, who's around, what shape the Blazers are in. It always ends up being a frustrating night against the Blazers. And unfortunately, this is the first night of this trip, so now the Pacers are going to have to dig down. And, you know, if you've been following this team like I have for the past several years, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities for them to come up with a big win against the Clippers or Warriors, but then also potentially dump a game against Phoenix or Dallas after that. So, again, I was always looking at this Portland game as being that swing game for coming back with a 3-2 advantage as opposed to a 2-3. And now, you know, they just got to hope they get these guys back against the Clippers, as they're hoping, and can avoid having a trip finish 1-4 or, God forbid, 0-5, which would be no good at all. So as for those Pacers who didn't play in Portland, things are actually looking up. The team remains hopeful Paul George will be ready to play against the Clippers on Sunday. And it appears that C.J. Miles may also be ready. If not in L.A., then certainly at some point on the trip. C.J. was a full participant in the team's shoot-around on Wednesday. And this quote from a story by Nate Taylor, his report from the Moda Center, sounded pretty promising. C.J. said, "I pretty much did everything. I played 5-on-5. I got up and down, so I felt pretty good. I'm not going to play tonight just because I only got one practice. Hopefully, I can get enough work in and try to get some real good tests throughout the week and get a chance to play soon." So that definitely sounds promising. I know Nate McMillan also in that report mentioned that, you know, kind of downplayed a little bit because he knows that Miles needs to get more work in, get his game shape ready to go. But it sounds like the knee is the least of his worries right now. It's more just getting ready to get out on the court. So they should have two full days of practice on the road at least, and maybe three now after the loss in Portland. But that should give Miles plenty of time to put his knee to the test and get his wind ready to go for some sort of role off the bench. So that is the good news. CJ will be available, which will also add some intrigue to how Nick McMillan handles his playing rotation. Coach will have some options, you know, at least when, you know, all the players show up to play. So again, thanks for listening, and feel free to reach out with any questions or comments about the Pacers. You can reach me at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. As always, you can find the pod on audioboom.com, or you can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, where all of the past episodes are available, so please check them out. That's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.